Chapter 59. Tong Zhu watched intently as the Zenith climbed up past the launch tower with a thundering reverberation that could be felt even inside the bowels of the Koguryo's control center. A lingering applause still rang through the control center as the jubilant launch crew cheered the rocket's ascent. Ling afforded himself a wide smile as the computer display told him that the Zenith's engine was operating at full thrust. He peered at Tong Zhu, who returned the glance by nodding tight-lipped in approval. "The mission is still far from over," Ling said, visibly relieved that the rocket was finally underway. But the riskiest phase of the mission was behind them now, he knew. Once the rocket was ignited, he had little, if any, control over the outcome of the mission. With a quiet uneasiness, he settled in as a spectator to monitor the balance of the flight. 6,000 miles away, Kang smiled weakly as he watched a satellite feed of the rocket bursting off the deck of the Odyssey. "We have opened the genie's bottle," he said quietly to Quan, sitting across his desk. "Let us hope he follows his master's wishes." From the cockpit of the Icarus, Al, Dirk, and Jack watched with dread as the blast of the rocket shook across the open sea. Just seconds before, Giordino had eased the struggling airship down onto a flat clearing atop Santa Barbara Island, where the relieved sea launch crew quickly jumped out of the overcrowded gondola. Captain Cristiano hesitated at the cockpit doorway, stopping to shake hands. "Thank you for saving my crew," Cristiano said through a grim face pained with disgrace for losing command of the Odyssey. "Now that we can get airborne again, we'll make sure they don't get away," Dirk replied with shared anger. He then pointed out the cockpit windshield towards an approaching blue dot on the horizon. "The Deep Endeavor's on her way. Get your men down to the shoreline and prepare to transfer aboard." Cristiano nodded, then stepped off the gondola, leaving it empty, save for Jack. "All ashore," he uttered into the cockpit. "Then let's get this gas bag back into the sky," Giordino grunted, turning the propeller's ducts upward and advancing the throttles. With roughly 8,000 pounds of human cargo suddenly offloaded, the blimp rose easily into the air. As Giordino aimed the airship back towards the Odyssey, their eyes collectively caught the first billows of smoke that indicated the launch was initiated. The fuming exhaust of the burning liquid oxygen and kerosene propellant bursting against the platform's water dampener system created a massive white cloud of vapor that quickly enveloped the entire platform and surrounding sea. For what seemed like minutes, the Zenith stood still at the launch tower building thrust. To the men in the airship, there was a hopeful moment where it appeared that the rocket was not going to leave the pad, but finally the tall white rocket began to rise, its blinding exhaust glaring like a fireball. Even a half dozen miles across the water, they could hear the sharp crackling sound of the combusting fuel as the hot explosive thrust met the cool surrounding air, creating the echo of an axe ripping through a pine log. Though it was a powerful, almost beautiful sight, Dirk felt a sickening knot in his stomach as he watched the rocket ascend. The glistening white missile would host the most savage terrorist attack the world had ever seen, resulting in a horrifying death for millions. And he had failed to stop it. As if that was not punishment enough, he knew that Sarah was somewhere in the target of Los Angeles and might very well be one of the strike's first victims. And then there was the fate of his father. Glancing forlornly at Giordino, he saw a grimace on the old Italian's face, the likes of which he had never seen before. It was not a look of anger with the terrorists, but an expression of concern for the loss of a lifelong friend. As much as Dirk did not want to face it, he knew that amidst the noxious inferno of the rocket's blastoff, his father was somewhere about the platform, fighting for his survival. Or worse. Aboard the Deep Endeavor, Summer felt the same pangs of dread swell through her body. Dirk had radioed the ship with news that the sea launch crew had been rescued, but also that their father was somewhere aboard the platform. When Delgado was the first to observe the rocket igniting, she thought her legs had turned to rubber. Grasping the captain's chair for support, she stared stoically towards the platform as tears welled in her eyes. All fell silent on the bridge around her as they watched in disbelief at the rocket as it surged off the launch pad. As one, their thoughts were on the fate of the Numa leader, lost somewhere in the rocket's white plume of smoke. "It can't be," Birch muttered in shock. "It just can't be."